fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Oh, baby! They can't block Calais Campbell.
Steps up, throws left side end zone. Roberts caught it!
No way!
Touchdown, Cardinals!
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Darren Urban.
Welcome to another edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com. I'm Darren Urban. I'm next to Ron Wolfley as usual as we do a season wrap of what was a very successful season, Wolf. I mean, you have to say overall that this was a successful season.
No doubt about it, D. And not only because the expectations were so low. I think this season, coming into this season, there were a lot of people out there talking about, hey, if they win six games, you know, hey, Vegas had them at what, 5.5 games or something like that.
ESPN, the magazine, picked them to go 3-13.
Well, there you go, right there. And it's not only because the expectations that you can look at it and say, wow, 10-6, what a great season they had. It was how they played that was so encouraging to me. It was the defense. Start with the defense and how well they played. The vast improvement of this defense, top to bottom. It all started on the line of scrimmage and in the box and the ability to stop the run. Going from number 28 last year to number 1 in the National Football League. And it wasn't because all these teams were throwing the ball against the Cardinals and their secondary was so weak and they're going to throw the ball, and that's why they were number one, because you look at their average yards per carry allowed, and I believe they finished in the top 3, if I'm not mistaken, in average yards per carry allowed. Their rush defense was nails. It was for real. And that was the biggest improvement overall. And the reason I think that they were 10-6.
Before we get to breaking some of this down, which we will, of course, but Wolf, as a former player, when you're heading into the offseason, when the season is over, as a player, are you just thinking, I just got to get away from this for a while? If you have a season like this, are you thinking, I wish it was still going? I mean, kind of what are the thoughts as an NFL season comes to a close for these guys?
I don't think there's any one correct answer to that, D. I think it is really on an individual basis as to how you feel about it. I know that there are guys that are under contract that are coming back, and although individually they can carry over whatever they did the season before, they can carry it over. I'm not a big believer that collectively as a team that you can say, okay, you know what? Boy, we went 7-2 over the last 9 weeks of the season, and we finished 10-6, and man, we beat Seattle up there in Seattle, and man, we should have beat San Francisco at home to finish the season. I don't believe you can actually collectively as a team carry that momentum over to the next season. I think in today's NFL, it is a year-by-year proposition, and I don't think you have to look very far for proof of that. Just talk to the Atlanta Falcons, talk to the Houston Texans, and the aspirations they had coming into this season and what happened to them. So because of that, I do believe that there are some guys individually that will be able to carry over the confidence level and the experience that they gain from this year to next year.
I agree with that. I know the momentum thing always seems to come up, especially after a successful season or a successful end of the season. And there's just so much that goes into an off season, not only with roster changes, but there's so much time. I mean, by the time you actually get on the field to play a game that counts again,
yeah,
it seems like the season just completed is ancient history, which in a lot of ways it is.
I just want to jump in quickly, yeah, and go back though. Your initial point, your initial question was how guys feel about it. And again, I think it is so individually based. There are going to be some guys that are very, very excited that the season is over. There are going to be some guys that had great years that are free agents that are going to be really excited that the season is over. And in the anticipation of the offseason and signing a contract that will reward them, that makes them feel a certain way. As some guys didn't have very good years, and maybe they don't feel very good. Glad that the season is over, yes. Disappointed they didn't get into the postseason, yes.
So we look back at this year as a whole thing, and I think to myself, and I'll ask you this for a minute, but I'll answer this first myself. What you like about the Arizona Cardinals from 2013, what you didn't like. I know that one of the things you have to like, you already mentioned it, the rush defense. The fact that it seemed like it was an afterthought under Ray Horton in a lot of ways, and they came in and they said, we're going to try and stop the run, and every defensive coordinator says we want to stop the run first, but they actually did it, and I thought they did obviously a great job at it. Statistically, it's proven out being the number one rush defense in the league. I thought that was a huge factor in them being able to win so many games. You have to like finding some of these young players that were unexpected. Tyrann Mathieu, we knew he was talented. You weren't sure how it was going to translate to this level, not only because of his off-the-field issues, but because of his size. That paid off. Andre Ellington, unbelievable. And you have to like Michael Floyd coming along. You have to like Carlos Dansby finding the fountain of youth. These are the things you like. The things you don't like, you still got to be a little concerned about where this offensive line is. I think they obviously improved as the season went on, but it's still not to where they want it to be. And you have to be a little concerned about getting so many contributions from guys who are about to become free agents and having to figure that
ding,
out.
Ding, 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 right there.
I mean, to me, it was a great thing on the front side because it allowed Steve Keim to reshape this roster quickly and get it to where what Bruce Arians wanted to do. But now this is the other side of that, especially after you've had a successful season. If they had won 5 games, okay, whatever. But now you're in a position where you're going into this offseason and there could be big time change when maybe you don't want big time change.
Yeah, you know, I think schematically, when you look at the Arizona Cardinals in 2013, there isn't much to dislike other than the picks that Carson Palmer threw. And he's got to clean that up. But going forward in the offseason, your biggest need is not at quarterback. And I think that is huge going into
Woo-hoo!
The draft. Exactly. It is not at quarterback with Carson Palmer under contract going into 2014, and that's huge. Here's what I liked. I like the fact that the Arizona Cardinals got much more physical in the box on both sides of the ball. That's what I like. When you start talking about positives, you've got to consider the division that we play in, the NFC West, man. It is the SEC of the National Football League is what it is. The NFC West is the most physical division in football, and because of that, if you want to compete, if you want to survive, you've got to get more physical in the box on both sides of the ball. I've been saying it all year long. I think the Cardinals took a huge step in that direction, not only defensively with their rush defense, but stop and think about some of the games near the end of the season, some of the games in December, some of the games where the rushing attack really started to take anchor and really started to come to life a little bit in this offense. And that's with a patchwork makeshift offensive line. And I think this offseason is going to prove how patchwork and makeshift that offensive line is. We could have 3 new starters on that offensive line in 2014. And yet there were games where, again, we ran the ball well enough. Seattle, I'll point to the Seattle game where we actually handed the ball off to a running back 38 times at CenturyLink Field. Forget about the 5 carries Carson Palmer had to make it 43 rushing attempts in the game. 38 times actually handed it off to a running back, and we bludgeoned the interior, attacked the middle of the field. Those are the positives when you talk about 2013 and the impact going forward, because you are getting more physical on both sides of the ball. That is going to help you, that is going to pay big dividends next year. What I didn't like is the fact that we've got so many personnel decisions that have to be made. I don't know, how can you go 10-6 when you came into the season with expectations that, man, if they could win 8, that would be an incredible season for this team with a new general manager, a new head coach, a new coaching staff. How many new faces when training camp opened? How many new starters on this team? And you're telling me they came together to win 10 games and had the opportunity to possibly get into the postseason in week 17? How in the world could you find a negative? You can't. But it comes down to the players and who might be back for 2014. Now, some of these one-year contracts that were signed, D, some of them you can go out and find that guy.
Yeah.
You can find a guy just like him. If, in fact, he gets an offer and he goes somewhere else, you can find a guy just like him. But some guys you're going to have some difficulty with, and Carlos Dansby would be front and center.
That's a great point. Before I lose it, though, you mentioned there could be 3 new offensive line starters. You could see a scenario where Lyle Sendlein is the only starter starting on that line next year. When you consider that Cooper
You could go 4.
You could actually go 4, and it would be interesting, but – the Carlos Dansby thing, I think I look at the personnel decisions that have to be made on this team and what Steve Keim is facing, and there are lots of them, and we're not going to break down every single one of them here. You can go to azcardinals.com, though, and I will talk about that.
Ding.
However, the two that stand out to me, one is Carlos. That's obvious. He's an unrestricted free agent, and he was fantastic in so many ways. That's a guy they need to have back. And then the other one is a guy who's already under contract, but that in itself is an issue. And that's with wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald and a salary cap number for next year of $18 million coming off, you know, with all due respect to Fitz, 2 straight seasons sub 1,000 yards. Last year it was easy to kind of put off on the quarterback thing. It's getting harder to put that off on just issues behind center. And they've got to figure
still
this out.
Still garnering an awful lot of attention, though.
Oh, absolutely.
From the defense.
I'm not sitting here saying Larry Fitzgerald is
right.
Trash. But again, when you're talking about paying somebody or putting $18 million of your salary cap towards a player, I mean, there's very few players in this league that are worth that. Most of them are quarterbacks.
You're talking about Qs.
Yes.
When you're in that rare air.
Yes.
Contractually, yeah, you're talking about quarterbacks.
So as long as we're on a roll here, we'll get back to Carlos in a minute. We talk about Fitz. I mean, we can't make any of those choices right now, but it is a tough place for especially given Fitz's status as face of this franchise.
First of all, a guy that is beloved.
Yes.
There is no doubt about it. And a guy that has been incredibly productive. Still, in my opinion, very capable of going out there and having great seasons, having those 1,000-yard seasons. And I think, let me just get off track here momentarily, but I think the impact of Michael Floyd in the season that he had this year, I think there's a lot of defensive coordinators that are going to be breaking down film all offseason. They're going to look at the Arizona Cardinals and say, you know what? We need to pay more attention to Michael Floyd and what Michael Floyd is doing and his ability to make big plays down the field than maybe even Fitz in certain down and distances, in certain situations in a game. And that could help Larry tremendously. It's one of the reasons why from the moment Michael Floyd showed up, I said, Michael Floyd, get off the press, get down the field, make plays. Because if you can get off the press, get down the field and make plays, defensive coordinators are going to be strapping on the defense. They're going to be strapping on the defense, popping the Imodium because this guy can play. And if that's going to be the case, that means he's going to garner a lot of attention, and that will open up a lot of the short and intermediate stuff for Fitz underneath. Yet the point remains, $18 million plus that you're going to have to pay. I would imagine at some point, if I'm general manager, I'm going to go and say, hey, Larry, what can we actually do about this number? And the question becomes, what will Fitz say if, in fact, that day does come?
I think I know what Fitz is going to say. I've been around him his entire career. He says all the right things, obviously, and I do think he wants to be here. But he's a businessman first, and I do think I have an idea what he said. And Steve Keim earlier this year, actually, when you and your radio broadcast partner, Doug Franz, were talking to Steve Keim earlier this year, he made clear, look, we can handle – that cap number if necessary.
Yes.
Which is important for him to make that point, because you don't want to lose your total leverage if you're the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think you want to handle that cap number if at all possible, but they said they can handle it. So I'll be very interested to see where it goes. And I agree with you. I think Larry had some issues early on in terms of getting into this offense. I think that also hurt him.
Yes.
The hamstring hurt him. I would like to see him with a full, not only this year, but then a full another offseason of understanding Carson Palmer and this offense, and then seeing what that will be. And,
totally.
And that also could help him. So I do think that they need – I mean, and here's the other thing that we're not even talking about, which is – and I'm not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that Larry will not be here next year. I still think he's going to be here. But if for whatever reason he wasn't, all of a sudden you created a big hole for yourself, because Andre Roberts is a free agent. I don't expect him to come back.
Right.
You can't just have Michael Floyd and guys you just throw out there.
See, I wonder, D, I wonder, and I have no idea about this, but I wonder if Larry would be open to the possibility of a trade. I do. I wonder if he would be open to that, especially if he were able to go play with somebody like Tom Brady,
right.
Okay, or I'm throwing out Drew Brees, yeah. Or a Peyton Manning or somebody, because, you know, Fitz obviously is a guy that can still be incredibly productive and still compete at a Pro Bowl level. But I wonder if he would jump at that. And this is pure speculation on my part. Larry, like you say, he's never going to come forward and do anything that's going to put the organization in a bad spot.
Right.
It's not just who Fitz is. But I wonder if push came to shove and you were able to sit him down and get a straight answer, I wonder what Larry would say about that possibility. And any trade... Let's just pretend. And again,
well, that's what we do here on the podcast.
Exactly right. This is pure speculation. It's a podcast. Get over it. Okay. But, you know, if Larry were to be dealt, he'd have to do something with that cap number.
Oh, sure.
You just would not be able to trade him at that number right now. Again, because we're talking about quarterback. We're talking about elite quarterback money. When you're talking about $18+ million. So he'd have to do something with that number. And that's one of the reasons why maybe he'd be willing to do it if he were given the opportunity to play with a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees or a Peyton Manning for that matter.
I would be curious, you know, and again, now we're just totally throwing stuff against the wall, but I'll be honest, at this point, you're right. I think to facilitate something, you would have to redo it. But I am also curious, what would 30, soon to be 31, when the season starts, Larry Fitzgerald draw on the open market as a wide receiver, given the fact that you can find wide receivers and that kind of thing? I wonder what that would mean, but I don't want to get too deep into Fitz here, because we want to talk about Carlos here.
Speculation,
because
yes.
We're also talking about Carlos Dansby, who just went through an offseason of not getting the offers he wanted because he was 32 years old. And now he's going to be 33 years old. And as unbelievable as of a season as he's had.
Unbelievable.
I do wonder what can be out there. I tend to think that he probably ends up back here because – And the Cardinals can make it work out, because I just don't know how much of I think there'll be interest for him. I just don't know if there's going to be the interest that he thinks there might be monetarily. And I think, all things being equal, I think Carlos would probably rather just stay here if the contract offers are similar.
I totally agree with you, but let me just talk about why. I think Carlos Dansby makes players around him better. This guy is not only incredibly productive, and even in Miami the year before, he actually had more tackles last year than he had this year. And he had 122 tackles this year, 114, which were solo tackles. Are you kidding me? That is an incredible number right there for a linebacker. And the fact that he had 4 interceptions as well, 19 passes defended, and we know those 4 interceptions could have been, what, 7?
Yeah.
Being conservative?
Yeah.
This guy made 6.5 sacks. Carlos was incredibly productive, yet at the same time, I think his real value, more than anything else, is the fact that he's one of these rare players that is a leader that makes everyone else around him just a little bit better. Because if you're going to produce the way Carlos Dansby has produced, and go back and look at his career – That's the one thing you can say. He has been productive from the beginning. He has earned his leadership role in any locker room. He has great field cred. So when he walks up to you, a doer, a guy that has done, a guy that has put up the numbers that he has, and he looks you in the face and said, you ain't doing it. You're not getting it done. We need you to get it done. He can do that. He makes everyone else around him better. He is accountable, and he's dependable. And that is the definition of what you want in a football player, somebody who's accountable and somebody that is dependable. And when he's got the kind of production that he has, he can take that accountability and that dependability and project it on you and say, what are you doing? And he does. And he gets the defense up. And he also understands Todd Bowles and his defense. And because of that, he makes everyone else better around him. That's where his real value is, in my opinion.
I just think back to the Carlos before he went to Miami, the one that was here. And he was good, and he was a leader. But there's a maturity that he walked in the door with this time around that wasn't there before. There's a self-awareness that he knows he's good, but he understands where he is in his career. He understands what he's chasing. He did make a lot of money already in his life, so I don't think he's ever going to have to worry about that. And there's just a grounded part to Carlos that I think has really helped them both on and off the field and in the locker room.
How much at the right number, and it always comes down to that, especially when you're talking about a guy that's going to be 33 years old, playing a high contact position like inside linebacker. How much would you love to see Carlos Dansby finish his career as a Cardinal?
I think it would be great.
It just seemed right, right? Yes. I mean, think about that run in November and December. Think about finishing 7-2 over those last 9 games. Think about Carlos and some of the plays he made, especially at University of Phoenix Stadium in front of the Red Sea, and tell me that didn't feel like it fit like a glove, right? It felt like 2008. It felt like 2009. It felt so natural and so right to see the filthy bird Carlos Dansby making plays in that stadium in front of those people and the Cardinals being in the playoff discussion. Man, that felt good. I'd love to see Los finish his career as a Cardinal.
I totally second that. So we come down to the home stretch here on Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com. And there's a million other things we can talk about. We'll get to some of those things. There'll be other podcasts this offseason, both audio and video, hopefully. And I think of some of the things. I mean, they need to have Tyrann Mathieu come back healthy sooner rather than later. I mean, can't rush it, but you're hoping that happens. Alameda Amu had a great season and unfortunately blows out his knee in the last game. I think that's something that could impact them early next year, not in a great way, and it'll be interesting to see how they address that. But the last topic I want to kind of touch on, you touched on it a little bit earlier with Carson and his interceptions, but the quarterback situation. This team found a quarterback. Now, is Carson Palmer the quarterback for 2015, 2016? Probably not, but was the quarterback this year, did a pretty good job. Granted, the interceptions were too high, and he's probably going to be the quarterback in 2014. And I just think that knowledge that he is there and gives you some stability. And again, talking what we said before, now with a full season and now an extra offseason in this offense with Bruce Arians, understanding what they're trying to do and having a running game with Andre Ellington to go with it, I just think that they are better set offensively than they've been in a long time.
They have to improve. They really do. Again, you're going to have Jonathan Cooper come back. I think that is going to improve the offensive line tremendously from the get-go, from day one. And hopefully he's going to be able to stay healthy. I would be surprised if the Cardinals didn't do something at left tackle. And if that means going out and getting a free agent, if that means drafting a left tackle, that's going to be able to hold up there at number 20 overall in this year's draft, I could see that happening. Okay, I think the offensive line is going to be more physical, and it's going to be better than it was this year. Now you talk about the receivers knowing this offense now. and not making some of the mental errors that they were making when the Cardinals were 3-4 in the first half of the season. I think the mental errors are going to fall through the floor, and because of that, they're all going to be on the same page. Carson Palmer, much more comfortable in this offense. And because of that, I think he is, I can say it with certitude, he is going to be the quarterback of 2014, and I hope he's the quarterback of 2014. I really do, because this is a guy I have a great deal of respect for. It's so easy to go out there and compete. Go out there and perform when everything is going well for you. Oh, you guys, your team is playing great, and you're throwing touchdowns, and you are being praised and glorified, and it's so easy to go out there and do it, and it's so difficult, so incredibly difficult to go out there and rally yourself and summon your passions when you've thrown two picks already and put your team in serious jeopardy of winning the game. He was so resilient. So I respect that so much as a former player. It showed great resiliency, and it shows great leadership in Carson Palmer. And you ask anybody in that locker room, and you ask the coaching staff as well, who's the leader on the offensive side of the ball? Carson Palmer. That tells me a lot.
Totally agree. And you know, I again, he had his downs to go with his ups, but I thought he got better as the season went on. There was a couple of poor games, but that happens. Kurt Warner had poor games, and I just think after everything,
oh, he's got to get better. There's no doubt about it, but I think he will for all the reasons we've discussed.
Exactly. All right. Well, Wolf, what do you think? You want to go have a cheesesteak, you think, now?
Yeah, let's do that. Sounds like a good idea? That sounds really, really good with the cheesy fries.
Well, I appreciate everything you've been on this podcast all season. Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you, buddy.
We'll be talking again. This has been another edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com. Yeah.